Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is Twamboka Pilikisha broadcasting live from Bonn, Germany. This is Diaspora Truth. Thank you so much for joining in. We appreciate you always tuning in, you know, to see what is going on. We appreciate it very much. Today I have a special guest called Sam Okiere, all the way from Korea, and I'm really excited that I have him on the show. And he is all the way in Korea, and I am all the way in Germany. So we are working on getting him connected to the show. But first, I want to say a little bit about the first song that was playing. It's a new popular song called Dorobuchi from Nigeria that has been, you know, climbing the charts because, you know, everybody loves a good Nigerian song, and I really, really like it as well. But the question has been, what does this song even mean? You know, I don't know. I'm hoping that somebody out there can let us know. So why do I have Sam coming on the show? Well, I have Sam coming on the show because, you know, this is Diaspora Truth. And what we like to do is we like to showcase young Africans that are all over the world doing great things, making a difference. And Sam Okere is this young man that is doing, you know, this job. He is making it big in the entertainment industry in South Korea. Some of you may have seen him on Running Man. For those of you that are into the Korean culture, Running Man is a very popular variety show, and he was on there. That was when I first noticed him. But he has also been on great shows like Hello Counselor and Saturday Night Live Korea, which I didn't even know existed. I didn't know there was Saturday Night Live Korea, and he has been on there as well. And Sam is Ghanaian by birth. He was born there, and I think he lived there as well. But that is what we have him on the show for, so we can find out how exactly did he get to Korea, what is his story, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I just want to say before he connects onto the show, for anybody that is listening, you know that Diaspora Truth is a show that likes to showcase young Africans in the diaspora that are doing a good job, that have interesting stories to tell. And if you know anybody that is doing something like this, doing something like Sam is doing, or you know, something that you think is worthy of being talked about, please go ahead and send us an email at diasporatruth.gmail.com. Or we are also on Twitter, and you can tweet us at Diaspora Truth. If you have any information, if you have anything else that you would like to tell us, we appreciate it. We enjoy the feedback. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and play another pretty popular song from a Nigerian called Davido while I continue to try and connect Sam. So please stay tuned. And when I have him on the show, we will go straight into the discussion. So bear with us. Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we are now live. I think we have Sam on the line. Sam, are you there?
Yes, Twombo, I'm here.
Thank you so much, Sam. Thank you for being patient, and thank you to our listeners for being patient with us. We sometimes have these few glitches with Skype. Skype, I have a problem with you, and I'm going to be calling some executive. So thank you so much, Sam, for being on the show. Welcome to Diaspora Truth. I am broadcasting live from Bonn, Germany, and you are in Seoul, Korea. Thank you for staying up late to be on the show.
No problem at all. Thank you very much for having me on the show. It's a pleasure and a privilege as well.
So right before I introduced you, I was telling everybody, you know, if anybody was a fan of the show Running Man, which is how I discovered you, you know, there's been this huge, you know, what they call the Korean wave, K-pop, K-dramas, etc. And that is something that I've sort of gotten into, and that is how I discovered you. And one of the variety shows called Running Man is something that I really got into because I think it's really funny. And that was when I first saw you. And I thought, oh, my God, who is this young African man that they have on the show? So I was very pleasantly surprised. I really enjoyed the episode that you were on. And I thought, since I do this show called Diaspora Truth, and we love to showcase young African people around the world that are doing amazing things, I invited you to the show. So thank you for coming. So first of all, I just want to start with the question, who is Sam and where is he from? For all those that are listening that have no idea who you are, please let us know who you are, where you come from, and what are you doing in Korea?
Okay. Thank you very much for enjoying my Running Man episode.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Sam Autry, and I'm from Ghana, West Africa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, coming from Africa, repping, and I live in Korea. I've been out here for over 5 years now. I came to study here And, you know, while I was studying, I had a lot of interest in the entertainment industry. So I kind of found a way to get into it, and that is what I'm doing currently. I'm working as a TV personality and an entertainer in Korea.
Okay. And you say that you went there as a student. So what were you studying?
Yeah, I studied computer engineering for my undergrad in a Korean university.
Okay, and is this something that you are not thinking of pursuing anymore now that you are, you know, in a big star in the South Korea's entertainment industry?
Well, I thought to myself, I'm like, well, I'm young, and, you know, I did 4 years of college. I enjoyed what I did, but I also wanted to try something different, and, you know, the Korean entertainment world is booming everywhere right now, and, mm-hmm. you know, there were a lot of, like, foreigners who were doing it, so when the opportunity mm-hmm. came, I thought to myself, hey, I might as well grab it, and that's what I did, and I'm still doing it and working hard.
mm-hmm. Now, you know, there's a lot of young Africans that are heading out into Asia now to do their studies.
Right.
I know I have a cousin that's going to China, and, you know, there's kids going to Malaysia, et cetera, because there's all these great scholarship opportunities that have opened up in Asia for young Africans to go.
Right.
And a lot of the time, young Africans have gravitated mostly towards the UK or the US or somewhere where they don't really have to
right.
learn a different language, you know, to sort of go and
yeah.
start their education. Or they will take a year learning the language and then start their studies. Was that the same situation that you had to go through? I mean, you went there as a student. Was it hard for you initially when you got to Korea, especially language?
Yeah, it was pretty hard, you know, considering the language differences. But, I mean, when I was back in Ghana, I was interested in languages. I did some French when I was back in Ghana. So I was actually very enthusiastic. I was very interested. I'm like, you know, different country, different culture. Everything was so different. I didn't know what to expect. So when I got here at first, I realized, okay, the language is very different from what we did back home. And it was very challenging in the beginning. But
mm-hmm.
after I lived there for a little bit, I realized, you know what, you had to grab the language to understand Korean people and the
mm-hmm.
culture and to be able to bond with them on a different level. So
mm-hmm.
when I first came here, I did a language thing for about a year. But
mm-hmm.
it still didn't really help me because what we did in school and, you know, what was happening outside were two different things. But when I went outside to mingle with people, you know, just go around with them, play with them, enjoy the food with them, just live life with them, that was when my Korean level picked up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been my journey.
Okay. I mean, I think that is what you've mentioned. I think it's very important, especially for all the young Africans that are listening that are heading out to Asia to go and study. There
right.
tends to be this people staying together because they're afraid of making a mistake if they're learning the language. I mean, I know that I've experienced that myself living here in Germany and having to learn the German language. You know, they are perfectionists
right.
that don't want to make the mistake when they learn the language. And so immersing yourself into the culture, I guess, as you've advised, is one thing that actually helped you get to where you are right now. Is that correct?
Very, very correct. You know, I always talk about how opportunities are always going to head your way, but you have to make sure you're fully prepared for them. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, in Korea, what I did was make sure I was fully versed in the culture and, you know, somehow fluent in the language. And that really, really helped me a lot.
Mm-hmm. Now, the way people perceive Korea to be, I mean, the only experience that I would say I've had of Korean people are students, Korean students that I've met that are studying abroad who also tend to keep to themselves, of course, because of the language and the cultural differences. But then what you see of
right.
K-pop and K-dramas, et cetera, I think everybody in the world sort of has this view of what another culture is like before you actually delve into it. So when you got to
right.
Korea, was it like it is perceived for the rest of the world that Koreans are not open or they're shy and do not know how to relate to foreigners at all?
Well, I think, you know, that has changed over the years. And like I said, it's more of a language barrier because when you really crack that barrier, you realize that Koreans are generally really open people. Like when they meet you for the first time, and they can speak or communicate with you to a certain extent, they actually refer to you as a brother more than a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how the culture is.
Mm-hmm.
So right from there, they treat you as family. You know, they relate to you not as a foreigner, but, you know, as one of them. Because the
mm-hmm.
main problem has been the language barrier, and that is what we're working hard to break down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was very pleasantly surprised to see you, for example, in Running Man or in Hello Counselor, and you're totally, totally fluent. Would you say you are totally fluent? Like, you could hold a conversation for hours and hours in Korean. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, to an extent, yes. And, you know, it has come about, you know, as a result of great effort, because, like I said, I struggled with the language in the beginning, but I made a very, very considerable effort to study the language every day. And, you know, that was my first time going on national TV. So I was a little nervous, you know, I was shaky, my words were wobbly and everything, but it was a great experience. But, you know, now I have a lot of Korean friends, you know, we talk in Korean, we send messages in Korean, you know, just doing it every day is part of my daily life now. So it's more or less pretty natural to me now.
Okay. Hello, Sam, can you hear me?
Yes, yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay.
I went off for a little bit.
Sorry, my question was Hello Counselor the first variety show that you did?
Yeah, yeah. You know, when I first came to Korea in 2009, I wanted a show where we had to dance with the stars that we liked.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I was new in Korea. I didn't speak the language, so I didn't really know what was going on. So I wouldn't really count that as the first variety show. I think Hello Counselor was the platform for me to just set on my journey to where I am right now.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that episode was actually, I would say, pretty controversial, reading from the comments from all the international people that have seen that episode. I mean, I took a look at different blogs and what people were saying, and I think one thing is the misconception about Korean humor. You know, I think a lot of times when people watch Korean variety shows, they tend to get a lot more offended at what people are saying and not realize that sometimes things that people say are just Korean humor. Could you explain a little bit to people that don't understand what it is like? I think there's a lot of people that feel offended at different things that are said on Korean variety shows, and they don't understand what the Korean humor is like. Could you explain to us what is considered funny in Korea? You know, like, there's people that get appalled by somebody being called fat or being called ugly, et cetera. Is this what Korean humor is like?
Yeah, you know, I did get a concert. I don't know if you've heard about it, but, you know, it's from KBS. It's a comedy show. I was on there for a period of time, so I got to work with, you know, the very top comedians in Korea. And I realized that Korean humor is about making fun of their own society. Like, they know exactly the problems, you know, that are pending in the society, and they try to turn those problems into, you know, funny stuff. They make jokes about them. And, you know, if you're big, they make jokes about your weight. They make jokes about how you look. And Koreans, they understand that is the kind of humor code that they have. It's very physical. Yeah, they don't mean it in a bad way. It's just part of the whole joking process. But, you know, when viewers outside, they watch that, they find that very offensive because they don't want you to talk about the other person like that. But that is how the Korean, you know, comedy thing is framed to be. Because I remember I was on Happy Together with DJ Sok and Park Myung-soo, and, you know, a lot of blogs were complaining about the fact that he was trying to attack me. But, you know, that is the Korean humor. They try to find something about you, and they use it, you know, against you in a way. But it's all part of the whole humor process. Yeah, that is how Koreans go about with their whole humor and their jokes.
So do you think that you understanding this is actually also a big part of what has helped you be a part of the entertainment industry? Because you were not walking around being injured by jokes as somebody else that doesn't know about the humor would be.
Oh, definitely, because I'm not when I first got to Korea, I wasn't really interested in, you know, K-pop and the Korean dramas. I wasn't really interested in that. But, you know, I had a cousin who would watch the shows every day, and that got me into it. So when I got to work with the Koreans, I actually understood what it meant. Because, you know, when they're doing it for the show, they're going to be all comical and stuff. But after the show, they talk about the real issues, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually thank you for understanding, letting people know, you know, there's so many things that you don't have to take too personal. Because at the end of the day, we just want people, and there's just basic things that we can make fun of. But the serious matters, they keep it very, very serious. For example, if they make something very racial, they're gonna be people that will attack them. So they're gonna, you know, render an apology and try to work on it. Because the goal of the Korean entertainment industry, you know, is to bring in more foreigners, you know, get their views and, you know, listen to what they have to say about their cultures and compare it to Korean culture and see what can be changed, because they want their culture to be very, very dynamic. So a lot of things are changing, and they don't make jokes just for joking, you know, it's just for the TV. But after that, there's a whole lot of serious issues that are discussed.
Okay, so how would you say that you actually got in? I mean, you said that you went to this show where you wanted to dance with stars that you liked or something like that.
Yeah.
How did it go from there to you actually being on variety shows? And, you know, now I saw on your Facebook page there's a little bit of a sitcom that you're doing as well. I've seen all this modeling that you're doing. What was the big break? What was your big break from you dancing with some stars that you know on stage to now? How did that happen?
Well, like I said, you know, the Dancing with the Stars thing, I did it when I first came to Korea. You know, I was an amateur. I'm still an amateur, but I knew nothing at that stage. I had somebody who was translating my Korean to me and everything. But, you know, when I went to school, I had Korean friends. And every time they, you know, they said something funny, I realized, okay, this is what they talk about when they want to say something fun.
Mm-hmm.
So I picked those things up. And when I went on Hello Counselor, you know, certain, even just the fact that you're a foreigner and you speak Korean, they find it funny because, you know, you're going to pronounce certain words, you know, in a certain way. You're going to say certain things that normal Koreans wouldn't say, but they find it really funny.
Mm-hmm.
So I capitalized on that. And when I went on Get Concert, I got to work with the Korean comedians. And I realized the things that, you know, they picked on to be funny, and the things that were happening within the society. So every time I went out, I've been looking out for stuff that I find are really weird or quite unusual. And when foreigners, you know, they go on the TV shows and they speak from that perspective, Koreans find it really funny because they're thinking, we're not going to think of this on a daily basis, but a foreigner is able to look into it and, you know, base his argument on that. So they always like stuff that is quite unusual, that usually they won't talk about. They like something fresh. So they find it really, really interesting. Yeah.
Okay. So now I just wanted to talk a little bit about the African community there in Korea or in Seoul where you live. Is there a large African community?
Well, you know, it's kind of large, but you don't have all the Africans at one place. You have Africans spread all over. There's some Africans you don't even know are in Korea but live here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they always live too far away from the city, so it's difficult to try to get all of them to come together. And most of them are here to study, and right after the study, they'll go back home. So it's really, really difficult to kind of hold an African community where you have, you know, solid members that are always present. So, I mean, we're still working on it. And, you know, the various African countries have their little, you know, groups that they meet in and stuff. But we don't have a solid African community as a whole as of yet.
And, I mean, you talk about people coming there and studying and then leaving. Is it hard for somebody that has then studied there, is it hard for them to assimilate into the society after they're done, or is it just the people's choice to go back because they either want to go back to their own country, or what are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I think the biggest problem or the biggest challenge is the language, because most of these guys that come here, they're usually here for the master's program, which is about 2 years. And they don't have enough time to study the language. So it makes it really difficult for them to work in a Korean environment. So the only option is to head back home. But once you get a full grip of the language, everything is possible here.
Right. Okay. I'd just like to remind our listeners.
It's as simple as that. Get the language and
Okay. So I'd just like to remind our listeners, this is Diaspora Truth. I am Trombo Kapulikisha, and I'm speaking to Samuel Okiere or Otsuiri. Now, this is also a question that I have Otsuiri, okay, great. Because, you know, like we said before, we're both African, but there's a little bit of a difficulty in pronouncing each other's names. So I'm speaking to him, and he is in Seoul, Korea, and we're talking to him because, you know, he's making quite a name for himself in the South Korean entertainment industry, and we are interested because he is a young African doing this. Now, you know, before I asked you about the African community over there, are you working towards working more with Africans while you're there? And do you feel a heavy responsibility to represent Africa while you're there? This is a question that a lot of young people are usually interested in, because we are now living in the times of, you know, Africa is rising. We have lots of African fashion going on. We have great African writers, you know, things like that. So Africa is really being put in the spotlight. And you, as a young African, that is making it big in an entertainment industry that is well known for different issues. Do you feel that there is a huge responsibility on your shoulders to sort of not be the perfect African, but represent Africa in an honorable way?
Well, I would say definitely. You know, when I started doing Korean TV, you know, it was good because, you know, I was making a little money, and it was a little money on the side extra, so I liked it. But then, you know, I thought to myself, okay, I want to do this very seriously. And a lot of Africans, you know, they began having interest in the shows because there's another African brother on it. So every time I go out of town, I meet people that tell me, you know, we like what you're doing. You're in Korean TV, you're representing us. So right from that moment, I realized, okay, fine, this is no longer about me. This is about the whole continent, because you're repping, and you have to make sure that, like you said, you know, you put Africa in a good light. So it went from just doing Korean TV for fun to actually having a responsibility, you know, putting Africa on the map in Korea, you know, representing the people that are here in a very good light, and likewise letting the people back home also know that, you know, you can come to Korea and assimilate with the people, learn the language, enjoy the culture, and live here and just enjoy your life. So it's been a great responsibility. It still is. And, you know, I'm also trying to look for ways to put Africa on the map. You know, like I put on my Facebook a couple of weeks ago that I wanted to, you know, embark on this African print thing, because I realized, you know what, if Korean celebrities are going to go on TV and wear their stuff, I want to go on TV and wear my stuff. I want to show them, you know, what we wear, you know, where I'm from. I want to show them something different because I've been given a platform. So, you know, I've been trying to, like, connect with people, various African entrepreneurs from all over the globe that are interested in Korean culture. I'm telling them this is what I'm doing. And if you want to join in the campaign, whichever way, I'm always open, you know, just to let these Koreans know what we have in Africa and what we're ready to put on their market.
Okay. And what about, you know, you've talked about African fashion. You know, if you go on TV wearing this, you know, of course people are going to be curious about what is he wearing. And maybe you could even get, you know, K-drama, K-pop stars to wear African print. That would really, really be amazing. That would be amazing and amusing to see. But what about in terms of, you know, yourself? What is it that you miss about Ghana? And this is actually a question that was coming in via Facebook for somebody from Marco here in Germany. The question was, do you miss Ghana, and what do you miss the most about it?
Well, to be honest, I miss the slow life. You know, I miss, you know, meeting up with your family, you know, eating together. For example, you know, I'm from Ghana, you know, I eat with my hands. Sometimes I miss that, you know, that whole feeling of, you know, washing your hands, eating together with your friends, you know, how we have to, you know, go to work and, you know, close early, come back, just have family time and relax. That is one of the things I really, really miss. And, of course, I miss the sun back home. You know, I miss the beaches as well. This is a slow life, relaxed, enjoyable life back home. I really miss it sometimes.
Now, because I have heard from a lot of my friends that have visited Seoul, I mean, it's great for a short visit. They love it. A lot of people don't know if they would actually live there. You know, is it, how would you describe living life in Seoul as like? Is it really fast life? Would you compare it, say, to a place like New York that most people have visited but have never been to Seoul? You know, how would you say life in Seoul is like?
Yeah, I would definitely compare it to New York. Everything is very fast-paced. You know, you can't be slow in Seoul. Like, everything is fast-paced. You know, everything is on the get-go. People are always doing something, and Seoul doesn't sleep. Seoul is lit up 24/7. You know, that's the kind of life pattern they have. You go to work all day, and then, you know, you meet up with your friends, you drink, you eat. You just all night till the next morning, and it's back to work again. So that's the kind of cycle they have. But I would recommend that if you want to live in Seoul and enjoy it, you know, you have to take time on the weekends to visit, you know, the great places that they have, like the museums, the parks. There are a lot of great places to visit in Seoul. And you can also you can head to the countryside where they have very quiet life. There's not too many people out there. It's quiet. It's like the direct opposite of Seoul. So if you have a blend of the countryside life and the fast-paced Seoul life, I think, you know, your life is going to be really, really awesome here if you're here for long term.
And have you had an opportunity to go back to Ghana? You know, you've been in Korea for 5 years. Have you been able to go back for holidays and things like that? Like, is that how you are staying in touch with your Ghanaian roots, so to say?
Yeah, you know, I was back home 2 years ago, you know, to see my family. And, you know, my little brothers, they grow so quick. And it's me thinking, so I'm trying to think where I can get back home, like, every year, because things are changing a lot back home, too. You know, the things I knew or I was used to when I left Ghana, it's not like that anymore. You know, things are changed rapidly. So even when I went back home, it was a little bit of a problem trying to adjust because, you know, everything is really different in Seoul. But everything's changed a lot, so I try to visit as much as I can. And I'm planning to go back home and you know, this Christmas to see my family.
Okay, and that also brings me to this question. You know that there was a huge period of time, and I guess now as well, where there's a lot of young Africans that leave home to go to other countries for education. And this, of course, is due to many factors, because one could be the belief that if they have foreign credentials, you know, they will do better. Two, the institutions back home may not have enough room. So, for example, in Zambia, there's not enough universities for the amount of young people that we have. So young people usually leave and go somewhere else to get an education. But there's sort of been also a movement of young people saying, no, we're not going to leave. We're going to stay home and we're going to develop our own country, et cetera, et cetera. Now, you know, young people might look at you and say, well, look at Sam. He left Ghana. He went to Korea. Now he's doing well. And all the answers lie in me moving out of my country. That is the only way that I'm going to be successful. What do you have to say to young people that have that sort of thinking?
Well, you know, I always say this, that there are a lot of great people that have never left the continent of Africa and have been, you know, outrageously successful. If you take Aliko Dangote, for example, you know, he's been in Nigeria most of the time, and, you know, he made his empire. He created his empire in Nigeria. And I remember watching his videos a while back, and he was saying that, you know, young Africans, when you go outside and you achieve, you know, a certain, you know, level of success in life, you have to return home and, you know, help. So for me, I feel like if you want to go, it's all right. It's not a bad idea. But whatever experiences, you know, whatever, you know, great stuff that you learn from wherever you're going, it's always good to always come back and try to, you know, help back home, or try to just commit your side of the quota. Because every time when I'm on Korean TV, the question that I get a lot is, do you plan to stay in Korea for the rest of your life or you want to go home? And I always tell them, I plan is to go home because I'm still young. I'm out here. I'm getting a lot of experiences. I'm seeing what Koreans have done that has helped them, you know, develop to this extent. And I'm putting all of that together. And when I get home, which is gone, I'm going to let the people know, okay, fine, I've been out, this is what I've learned. We can also do it here, because Koreans didn't have to go out to develop the country. They did it by themselves in their own country.
Right.
So, yeah, the guys that have got opportunity to go out, it's good. Learn whatever you have to, but make sure you come back home to help out, because that's the only way we can build Africa. If not, then we have a long way to go.
I mean, I think one of the things that I really admire, especially about the Korean culture, K-pop or K-drama, is how they stay true to their own traditions and some that they've done. They've developed it themselves, and they honor it, and they stay true to it. Do you think that this is a problem that a lot of African entertainers have with not embracing where they're from, their roots? So, for example, I'm talking about Americanizing our music a lot more, or, you know, following a different culture just to be more popular and not embracing our own, like the Koreans have, you know, done. They're very proud of their own language. They're proud of their food. You see their food all the time in the K-dramas. Very delicious, actually. Looks amazing. But is this something that you think that us Africans can do better?
Yeah, you know, I feel like one thing, or one problem we Africans have, is finding our identity. I think we've been having, like, identity crisis for a while now. Like you said, you know, we think following the Americans is the way to go, but we don't understand Americans are Americans, and they have the American way. If we're Africans, we have to have the African way. And one thing I always tell my Korean friends is the Korean language is awesome. Why? Because it's for Koreans. They can use it. You use it everywhere. When I take Ghana, for example, I didn't learn my local language back in school. I had to learn English instead. So, you know, there are certain things that I don't even know in my local language, which I feel should be taught back home, but we don't have that. And also feel like, you know, most of the Africans are really torn from their history.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know exactly, you know, their history, so they can hold on to it. And we have this thing where we're in search, trying to look for, you know, somebody else's history and think it's ours, it's better. We want to cling onto it. But we have to be able to identify ourselves as African. And that's the only way, because the idea is to stand out,
mm-hmm.
which we're not doing. I feel like if we're able to grab onto ourselves and, you know, understand that we're Africans, this is who we are, we create an identity for ourselves, we would mm-hmm. be able to, you know, just market ourselves to the rest of the world, because that's mm-hmm. who we are and that's what they want to see. An American mm-hmm. doesn't want to hear an African artist sound like an American. I mean, mm-hmm. they want something different. They want something diverse. That is mm-hmm. why the Korean K-pop industry and movie industry has done so well, because mm-hmm. they realize, okay, we're Koreans. This is what we know. We're going to use that and market ourselves to the rest of the world. And that's what I think Africa needs to do.
Mm-hmm. And so with, you know, obviously Koreans have their own outlook on what they think Africans are like, just like a lot of people in the world have an idea of what Africans are like. And we all meet people all over the world. I meet people here in Germany that already have a preconceived notion of what it must be like where I come from, or what my family must be like, or what their economic position is, etc. And you obviously go through the same thing where people assume you're, you know, because you're African, then this and that. Do they box you in as well for what kind of jobs they give you because of that assumption? Or is it now that it's opening up, people are more open to experimenting with you?
Well, you know, like I said, it's changed over the years, because 5 years ago, you wouldn't see what is happening right now happening 5 years ago. It would have been not possible. And like you said, you know, there was this trend where they like to box Africans.
Mm-hmm.
Because they actually see us as the lower class. You know, there mm-hmm. was a period of time where, you know, that was happening. But, like, for example, I'm on a TV show that has people from different countries. You know, we have a platform where we tell people, you know, where we're from, what we have. So I feel like Koreans are more interested. They're curious to actually know if what they thought before is actually the reality on the ground. And they're finding that it's not. They're finding, look, Africans are just, you know, they're the same people as we are. They have the same schools, they have the same hospitals, they have the same opportunities and stuff. So if we're able to just take them in our culture, it won't make any big difference. So I feel like mm-hmm. there's a big difference when it comes to the generational gap, because the mm-hmm. old people still think, oh, this is what Africa looks like. But the younger generation, you know, they're very curious and they want to know and they want to change the older perceptions about Africa. So I feel like it's a step in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. Now, I want to talk a little bit about, you know, the projects that you are working on now. Could you tell us a little bit about this sitcom that you're in?
Oh, yeah. The sitcom I'm in is called Hwanggeum Geotap in Korean, and it translates to Golden Tower in English. And mm-hmm. it's basically about, you know, the guys in Seoul, you know, they can't find jobs, things are difficult. So they try to return to the countryside where, you know, land is abundant. They try to farm and just try to get away from the city life and live life back in the village. That mm-hmm. is what, you know, the entire sitcom is about. And I play the character of, you know, a student from Ghana who comes to Korea to learn, you know, advanced agricultural technologies and trying to send back home, you know, try to help the people out. So, you know, I just basically live in the countryside with the other Koreans who are living their lives, who have come from Seoul, you know, mm-hmm. so together. We're trying to see how to adjust to life away from the city.
And so is this airing already, or is this something that somebody can watch online? Where can we find this, you know, sitcom so that we can take a look?
I think most of the, you know, the sites that have dramas and stuff, they probably have it on there. If you look for Golden Tower, you're going to find it. You're going to find mm-hmm. it. We've already started shooting. We have about 5 episodes in already. And, you mm-hmm. know, it's about 20 episodes in all. We already have 5 out there. So people can actually look for it, and they're going to find it. If they type Golden Tower online, a lot of links that will take them to where the videos are.
Okay, so I'm just going to go now to the Twitter feed and to Facebook to read a little bit, you know, some of the comments and the questions that people might have. We have somebody that says it's a lovely interview, and they love to see Sam when they watch Korean shows, seeing him on Korean variety shows. And thank you for giving a more positive African narrative with the Korean audience, and that they're proud of you and you're a good ambassador of Ghana. So I think this person is Ghanaian. So you're making your fellow countrymen very, very proud. Comment also says that, you know, most Koreans know of people of color from the 1950s, so, you know, basically war, et cetera. Does Sam know anything about this, and can he elaborate?
Yeah, you know, I always tell Koreans that, you know, Koreans have a very short history, you know, I mean, after the Japanese occupation, and it was a time where even Ghana was a richer country compared to Korea, you know, and they had countries like Ethiopia come in and help. So they're no familiar face to like the people of dark skin. Now, what happened was as Koreans transitioned from, you know, being a poor state to being a middle income state and are now almost to a high income state, they have this thing where they're paranoid about black, you know, darker skin, because it reminds them of the time or the period when, you know, they have nothing to eat and they always had to get AIDS and stuff. So they try to shy away from that. That has been the process.
But like you said, this is now changing. It's opening up. People are embracing the fact that, you know, there's a different Africa, and the fact that there's a lot more Africans that are traveling as well. Okay, the next question.
Definitely.
So the next question comes from a lady called Caroline that is living in the UK. Her question is, what is your favorite Korean food?
Oh, man, like, I get this question a lot, and it's so difficult because I eat almost everything I get. Like, I'm a person that I love food. You know, I love food, but I love the barbecue. I love the barbecue the most. The barbecue is my favorite. Yeah.
It seems like, I mean, Korean barbecue is also pretty popular here in Japan. I think it's popular all over the world. So our next question, I'm going to go to our next question. The next question is, do you get to cook a lot of Ghanaian food while you are in Korea?
Oh, yes, I do. I had jollof. You know, that's a very favorite Ghanaian dish. I know probably people from Ghana or the West Africa know about it, jollof. I ate that today. You know, every time I think about home, I go to... Yes, self-made jollof, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and you know, like what I said, I'm trying to let Koreans know what we do back home. So, for example, if I ate jollof, I take a picture of it, I put it up, and I tell Koreans, this is jollof. I tell them how to make it. And, you know, they're interested, so they're going to try to find the ingredients and cook it. So, yeah, my little small way I'm trying to promote Africa.
Okay, next question is from Maria here in Germany. Her question is, can you sing, and would you consider becoming, you know, a K-pop star now that you are, you know, in the entertainment industry? Can you sing, and would you consider becoming, you know, a K-pop star?
Well, I wish I could sing. You know, it's one of the things I've really wanted to do, but unfortunately, I cannot sing. However, I'm not too bad at, you know, writing down some lyrics, and I've actually thought about doing Korean rap. I don't know when, but at a point in time, I'm thinking about doing Korean. But what I'm doing right now is I write Korean poems now. That's what I've started.
Okay.
You know, hopefully it turns into something big, but yeah, I'm just starting small.
Okay, and where can somebody access these Korean poems? Can they see them just on your Facebook page or?
Yeah, for now I'm planning, I have a couple of poems. I'm going to put them up on my Facebook page. I'm going to put them up on my Instagram page, and I have a blog that I'm working on now. I'm going to put all the poems there, and I'm going to, you know, create a link on my Facebook so when people go on that blog, they can find all the poems, both in English and in Korean.
Okay, sounds good. I'm very interested in seeing that. The next question we had is that, you know, they've seen pictures, like editorial pictures of you in Vogue and in, I think it's called Grazia magazine. What was that experience like for you? Are you trained as a model, or was this the first time that you actually did it?
Oh, very good question. You know, when I came to Korea, I did modeling for a little bit, for a little period. I had some brands that I did model for, so I have kind of just a little experience in that. But being on Vogue or being featured on Vogue was big for me because, you know, Vogue, everybody reads Vogue around the world, so it was big for me. But I like being in front of the camera, you know, I like it. It's comfortable for me, so it was a very enjoyable experience.
And I mean, another question actually comes from Jacob here in Germany as well. The question is about Fabian. I hope that you don't mind being asked about Fabian. You had good chemistry on Running Man. Are you guys planning on doing a show of your own?
Yeah, definitely. You know, well, one thing, like I said, you know, a lot of Korean shows are planning to have foreigners on the. But we are thinking about creating our own show as foreigners. That's one of the things you're trying to come up with. So that we've spoken about that, and you know, he's doing his stuff. He's kind of busy, but when he has time, you know, we meet up and we're trying to see if we can come up with ideas of our own shows together and stuff. So yeah, we're working on that.
Okay, speaking of foreign people in the entertainment industry in Korea, other than you and Fabian, are there other people that you can mention and what they've done? Because you are the only two that I could think of right now. Anybody else that I would deem foreign would be somebody that is Korean-American. Are you, especially somebody that, a person of color, I would say you are the first person that leaps to mind. But are there other people that you could mention that, you know, would be worthy of checking out?
Well, definitely. I mean, before I got into this industry, you know, there are people that were before me, you know, foreigners. There's this guy called Robert Holly, and he's an American guy. He's been here for a long time. He's actually naturalized to be a Korean. And then this guy that I work with every day, he's called Sam Hamilton. He's from Australia.
Okay.
Yeah, I call him my senior mate. Yeah, my senior mate in the entertainment industry. He's been doing this a long time ago. Very, very popular guy in Korea.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of guys on the TV show that I'm on right now is called Non Summit. You know, like this guy from Belgium. He's from Belgium called Julian. You can check him out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Julian. You know, he's a DJ here. He's done a lot of Korean TV. He's done some acting and stuff. So, yeah, they're a couple of good guys doing really good stuff. And there's a guy from Germany on the show as well.
Oh, really? What's his name?
Yes,
that would be interesting as well.
Yeah, I want to send you to him. He's called Daniel, but he represents Germany on the show.
Well, I'll be glad to let all the other people here that are, you know, into the Korean entertainment culture to check him out. So, you know, as we're coming towards the end of the show, we only have about 7 minutes left. What does the future hold for you? You know, you talk about you're writing poems now and maybe do some Korean rap, and you're doing, you know, this sitcom. You know, as you've said, a lot of people in Korea ask you, are you going to stay there forever, et cetera? And your answer is no. But in the interim, before you actually do go back home, what are some of the goals that you have?
Well, I'm actually trying to venture into the Korean movie industry. That's one of my long-term goals. Actually, there's a movie coming up that I might be working on. So, I mean, if everything does go through, I'm going to let you know about that. And, I was thinking about holding an ambassadorial position here in Korea, you know, especially for the Ghana and Korea relations. You know, I've been trying to work with my embassy here in Korea, you know, see if we can bridge the gap between, you know, Korea and Ghana, you know, culturally, economically, everything. So that is what I'm looking into as my long-term goal, just being an ambassador for both Ghana and Korea.
And one last question from one of our listeners. You know, you being from Ghana and you're out there in Korea, does everybody assume that you're good at playing football? Good question.
Oh, yes. I mean, I get that a lot. And, you know, Korea and Ghana have played a couple of times. And most of the time we beat them. So, you know, they're actually aware of the fact that we love soccer. And sometimes they assume I play good soccer, which I'm not. I'm just just average. But they assume because I'm from Ghana, I play good football. But I also tell them Koreans play good football, and we all love football. So, yeah, it's good. But they do assume that sometimes.
Okay. I mean, now that you mentioned, you know, you have all these, your goals before you actually go back home to Ghana, and not like we're going to be watching you to make sure that you go back home to Ghana. But how can young Africans that are living in Africa or in the diaspora, how can they support you during this time that you're over there? Because you are well-loved by Africans all over the world and by Korean people. How would you like us young Africans to support you a little bit more? What would you like us to know?
I always want young Africans to keep their options open. And, you know, I feel like you can always come and check Korea out for sure, you know. Trust me, you're going to enjoy it. It's going to be very, very welcoming because I'm going to be working hard to make sure, you know, it's like that. And like I said, I'm trying to embark on a whole lot of things, like African product, African, you know, print, you know, just everything about Africa that, you know, I can show to these Korean guys. Like that is the campaign I'm backing on. So if people want to support, if people have the same ideas that they like to share, they can hit me up on Facebook. You know, we can talk, we can set up a committee. Just, you know, you can just take it from there. You never know what can happen.
Mm-hmm. And now that you mentioned, you know, that people can get in touch with you, how do you want, can you please mention like your social media accounts? How and where can people get in touch with you if they are interested in, you know, collaborating with you for fashion or whatever else they can come up with? How can people reach you?
Yeah, through my Facebook page is Sam Archery. If you send me a message, I'll be sure to reply. Or they can hit me up on Instagram. It's Sam Archery 1. They can find me on Instagram, and I'll be sure to follow back, and I'll be sure to answer any questions that they have, and they can feel free to contact me at any time because I'll be ready to answer them.
Okay, great. And just one more thing. You know, there's a lot of young people
yes.
that listen to this show that want to be inspired by somebody that they've heard on the show. And this is one of the main reasons that I do the show, is because I like to talk to people, get to find out what are they doing, what their thought process is, but also because I sort of want to galvanize young people everywhere, whether in Africa, in the diaspora, and to let them know, like, look, you know, you have the power to do and be whatever it is that you want. So what do you think
right.
have to say to all the young Africans that are going to listen to this show, that are listening live, or that are going to listen to the podcast later? What do you want them to know?
First of all, I want them to know that they are the future.
Mm-hmm.
Africa is the future. That's what I want them to know. And I also want them to believe in themselves. And I want them to understand that they are as great as anybody else, and they can do whatever that they, you know, they set ahead of them. There's nothing impossible in this world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're young. They have to understand they're young, they're vibrant, they're talented, they're hardworking. There's nothing
mm-hmm.
that they cannot do if they put their minds to it. And I believe
mm-hmm.
that just by joining hands as Africans, we can actually change our continent.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you so much, Sam, for being on the show. I apologize for the technical difficulties earlier, but thank you so much for being on the show. I will be sure to advertise your Facebook and your Instagram accounts for anybody that wants to get in touch. Thank you so much for staying up late and being on the show. Thank you for everybody that is listening. Go ahead, Sam. You wanted to say something? Sorry, I cut you off.
No, at all. I mean, I just want to say a big, big thank you for, you know, having me on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just want to tell you to, you know, continue doing what you're doing, because it's a great job. And
mm-hmm.
there are a lot of other Africans out there doing, you know, good things somewhere else too. And, you know, I hope we can all connect. And I really, really want to say thank you for having me on the show. It was a great interview and I really enjoyed it.
Okay, thank you so much. So this has been Diaspora Truth. This is Twamboka Pilikisha broadcasting live from Bonn, Germany. Please be sure to check us out on Facebook or on Twitter at Diaspora Truth. If you have an idea of a young African out there that is doing something amazing and you would like the rest of the world to know, please go ahead and, you know, let us know. Write me at diasporatruth@gmail.com and we will be sure to interview them. So thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you, Sam, for coming. Thank you for all my listeners. And I look forward to having you on next week. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Girl, you're behind.